Books of the Bible. Malachi was the last recorded prophet of God until John the Baptist 400 years later. Malachi addressed the corrupt priesthood, half-hearted worship, divorce, injustice, and neglected tithes. He also foretold the coming of John the Baptist, Jesus the Messiah, and the great day of the Lord when God judges the wicked and rewards the righteous. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't do it, Presbyterian Church America. Don't do it. This is Wretched Radio. There was a controversy that was simmering a number of years ago that has resurfaced, at least courtesy of an article written in the Christian Post by a fellow who is willing to admit that he had homosexual proclivities. Well, now he happens to be a pastor. He's been married for 19 years. Has two children. He also leads a number of ministries, including Made Free Ministries, Agape First Ministries. What are these ministries focused on? Men and women who have desires that they know the Bible does not endorse and identifies as sinful. They don't want them. How can we help them grow into sanctification where those desires abate, where they are mortified, not cultivated? Well, a number of years ago, his concern that he addresses was something called Side B Christianity. What is Side A Christianity? Side A Christianity is, hey, you can be gay and you can live any way that you want to and still be a Christian. Well, Side B Christianity said, you can have those proclivities. That's fine. You just can't act on them. And they made ruffles because the Side B conference happened inside of a Presbyterian Church America. Please note, there's a big difference between the Presbyterian Church denominations, just like there are in every Protestant denomination, just like there are in everything, including Roman Catholicism. Don't be deceived. I know Roman Catholics love to say, you Protestants have 842 million denominations. First of all, no, we don't. Second of all, there are certainly strands inside of the Roman Catholic Church, which is why I think these conclaves for electing a new pope go on and on. If everybody were so one-minded, why does it sometimes take days, weeks, even some instances, years to nominate a new pope? It's because there's political concerns, there's regional concerns, there's theological differences. Are we going to be progressive? Are we going to be conservative? And I think the conclave does nothing but expose the fallacy of the proclamation that Roman Catholics make, that it is just Protestants that have divisions. Well, we do. I've always seen these as accommodations where God says, okay, you guys just can't quite get on the same page with everything. And in order to function with any semblance of normality or with any semblance of just being able to get along and get things done, go ahead, have your different denominations. It's sort of a concession like divorce. The Presbyterian Church USA is different than the Presbyterian Church America. Speaking of the Presbyterian Church USA, guess what they just decided to do? Shut down their missionary agencies. They aren't going to preach the gospel anymore, which probably has been lost for a long time anyway. Do you recall there's a Presbyterian Church pastor, this should tell you everything, named Rebecca Peters, who said, God lied to humanity. Well, that's blasphemy right there, but that's coming out of the pulpit of a Presbyterian Church USA. Well, now they're shutting down their missionary branch, and they do it with a language I just do not speak. I get it. Language changes. It really does. The words take on different meanings. New expressions get introduced. I think because of social media, the speed of communication, I think that's happening more. But just the whole phrasing that this particular Reverend, it's Reverend O, O-H. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce the first name. J-I-H-Y-U-N. A stated clerk of the General Assembly. This is the explanation. See if you can translate this. While they considered understandings of missions as sending or missionaries, ultimately they chose to translate the phrase as the work God does. Well, that's not what the word means. Missio, to send. That's what a missionary is. Because Jesus sent the disciples a couple of times. The Great Commission, while going, make disciples. We see commissioned ministers, Apostle Paul, being sent in the book of Acts. That's what the word means. But now they're just calling it the work God does. So they have missionaries, they just don't do mission work. Another instance of using the same word with a different definition. Watch for this. This is why a lot of times you can come to loggerheads with somebody who's of a different persuasion theologically than you. Yeah, we're using the same words, but I don't think that word means what you think it means. And this is another case of that. So they've redefined missionary instead of to be sent or a sent one, the work God does. And then she explained how that idea extends beyond just sharing the good news of Jesus to the whole work of God in the world and how we're able to engage in that work only through partnership. Quote, partnership is theologically and biblically based on the fundamental belief that God's love for the world is greater than any one church can possibly comprehend or realize. Do you smell universalism? You certainly should. Why? Because they will partner with anybody outside of Christianity, because God is doing a work there. Different name, same God, and we can partner with them. That's the Presbyterian Church USA. And by the way, if you want to read a treatise, very brief treatise on the issue of ecumenism, please check out John's writing. 2 John, he's very clear about this. We've got to watch the partnership business. Just saw that at the National Prayer Breakfast. I think that's what it was, a prayer event at the White House. They had an imam praying. They had Paula White praying. They had a Jewish rabbi praying. It was so ecumenical. It was just this conglomeration without any distinctions being made. Nobody said, hey, look, I'm here because just want to let you know, biblical Christianity is totally different than all of these other religions being represented here. We believe, spell it out, versus what they believe. Having said that, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, let's pray. That's not what happened. Instead, it was an ecumenical affair, and we need to be mindful of the message that we send when we partner with other religions. Apparently, the Presbyterian Church USA has not been reading 2 John, but let's return to the Presbyterian Church America. Tim Keller described Side B thusly. By the way, this is from Christian Post. Now, the author of the article is Darren, I hope I say it right, M-E-H-L. Mail? Mel. Sorry. War Road, Minnesota. Been there, the War Road, Minnesota. He quotes Tim Keller, who described Side B Christianity thusly, people attracted to the same sex, though remaining celibate in obedience to the Bible, still can be themselves called gay Christians and see their attraction as part of their identity, which should be acknowledged like one's race or nationality. The problem is melanin levels and the nation from which your ancestors came. The Bible doesn't identify as a sin, but any sort of sexual activity outside of one man, one woman in a lifelong covenanted relationship is. Therefore, the adjective gay Christian does not fit. It's not a part of your identity. No sin is. If you want to use an adjective to define your Christianity, try born again. Try Bible believing Christian. Oh, okay, but it's not necessary because it's baked into the word. Jimmy? All right, by the way, are you still identifying as a child-beating Christian?
Child? No, I don't act on that.
Okay, but so you are a child-beating. So let's celebrate that you're a child-beating Christian, okay. But you just don't act on it.
That's right.
Yeah, that would be Side B Christianity. Don't let this infect the Presbyterian Church America. I'm hoping that they have put this to death. But this fellow who's writing from War Road, Minnesota, he's saying that he's seeing it a lot, at least in the state of Minnesota. Back to his article, Scripture teaches that we are created male and female. Our identity is not in our temptations or struggles. You're a Christ one. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17, Rexella. That's who you are. Period. Side B, gay Christianity redefines the self according to desires and feelings, and then baptizes those desires in religious sexual orientation language. Sin is crooked. I don't care what sin it is. Lying is crooked. Thieving is crooked. And so are sexual sins crooked. And God doesn't want you to remain crooked. He wants to straighten you out. And he doesn't want you identifying with crooked and being comfortable with crooked. And doesn't this speak lowly of the sanctifying power of our God and the power of the Holy Spirit to affect change? Just like it did for the author of this article. He's been married for 19 years, has two kids. And he's writing about this threat that he's seeing at least in Minnesota churches. Side B, Christianity appeals often masquerade as empathy, but amount to emotional manipulation rooted in sentimentalism rather than biblically rooted compassion. Here's how it gets done. They do an empty chair presentation. A speaker shares the lived experience. That's really lame form of rhetoric, but nevertheless, here's a lived experience of an LGBT identifying person while pointing to an empty chair, representing the absence of such individuals in the church. Don't you want that person in the church? Then be a side B Christian. And all they end up doing is mangling the Bible, defaming God, and harming people. That's side B Christianity. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. fortisinstitute.org.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this: 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done.
Jesus is called the cornerstone. When laying a foundation, every stone must be aligned in reference to the cornerstone. God is building his church as a holy temple, and as believers, we are being brought into line with the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe to bring you, well, if we're going to be honest, and we're Christians, so we're going to be, a bunch of stories that are important but really aren't enough to fill an entire segment. So what do? You slap them together, and to make a theme, you play a dated theme song from Wide World of Sports, and you call it Wide World of Christian News. I blew that one.
I would have went with it.
This is right. Okay. Jimmy, you're going to appreciate that. Nobody else is going to appreciate this, but you'll appreciate this. I was told at Alpharetta Bible Church. So we play one song. And actually, there's three different verses, but we play one of the verses each week because I think that this isn't mandated in the Bible, but having I'll just use the word, like a touchstone. It's like we sing that song every week. I think it's helpful for us because it's a reminder. There are things here that are constant and consistent. I think I've shared this before, but the Roman Catholic Church has found value in that. They've discovered that when they just keep doing the same thing over and over again, people might leave, but they come back. Why? Because of the familiarity. Well, we don't want to follow that pattern, but I think the concept is somewhat valid. If we're constantly changing everything in church, we never do anything the same. It's always different. It just feels kind of like you're floating out there. So we have one song that is kind of serves as that repeated and constant element. Speak, O Lord, is the name of it. I think it's a Getty tune. It's really excellent. And so they sing that one of the verses, and then I step into the podium, and I've been informed, please wait for the last note of the piano to stop.
You're stepping on the music.
Well, because that's what you do.
That's exactly.
That's what you do in radio anyway. You don't wait for it to stop and then go, oh, I'm on. you just bang. As soon as they stop singing, you jump in. That's what you do. But apparently not at Alpharetta Bible Church because I've been told, knock it off. You're making things hard. Let's go span the globe, shall we? This is from the earth. Florida specifically. Carpenter ants. You say, what does this have to do with Christian radio? Here's the headline from earth.com. Ants are the only animals besides humans. Wait a second. I'm sorry. The only animals besides humans? We're not animals. We're humans. We're ensouled. We're better. Sorry. We're the cream of God's creative crop, not ants. Ants are the only animals besides humans. All right. I'm going to let you guess. Jimmy, I'm going to let you finish the headline. Ants are the only animals besides humans that perform blank.
Work.
You got to be more specific. What kind of work?
Laborious work.
Okay, that's the same word. Labor and work are the same thing. Put your thesaurus down. Surgery.
Really?
Yeah. They perform surgery, those ants, just like human beings. Yep, this is from the Science Journal, Current Biology. It highlights how Florida carpenter ants, and then I just love this. They throw in the Latin name to make it sound like, see, we're scientists. By the way, we're going to be putting up a video, I think, on Friday. Jason Lyle did a webinar for Fortis Institute on climate change, shared some of that last week. The entire thing is up at Fortis Institute, or you can go see on the YouTube machine this Friday. We're just going to kind of chop that up a little bit, and you will see that the science is not on the side of climate change activists, with all due respect to Al Gore, who's been wrong about every prediction that he's ever made about the future. Campanatus Floridanus. Got the word Florida. I didn't know Florida was a Latin name. So we turned it into a Latin name so it makes it sound scientific. They handle severe wounds among their nest mates. This is from the University of Würzburg. So I guess we're in Florida and Germany. When we're talking about amputation behavior, this is from the author of this scientific study. When we're talking about amputation behavior? This is literally the only case in which a sophisticated and systematic amputation of an individual by another member of its species occurs in the animal kingdom. So let me get this straight. You're comparing, bypass surgery that is done in an operating room that is presumably sterile, with operating equipment, with lights, with machinery. You're saying that's just like the ants when they tear a limb off of another ant. This is just another effort to try to bring people to elevate animals, bring people down, the descent of man, so that we're nothing but what evolution teaches us. We're just a bunch of monkeys. We're just animals. In 2023, a different ant species, Megapanera analis, was shown to rely on a special gland to release antimicrobial compounds during treatment. We're calling it treatment. Apparently, there's an ant in the colony who's got a gimpy wing, and they rip it off of him, but they've also got something in their mouth that can help aid treatment. Treatment. That's considered treatment. This is so desperate. Observations reveal that the ants rely on a systematic evaluation of each wound. Can you show me that paperwork? Do they do that evaluation on a computer, or are they still writing it on paper? Suggesting they can detect when amputation is more likely to offer a better outcome than cleaning alone. Oh, is that what they're doing when they scramble around? In the study, femur injuries were consistently handled with initial cleaning before the leg was removed, whereas tibia injuries received only cleaning. Oh, I see how you did that. There were some injuries. How many of these injuries did we study? Femur injuries, where they almost completely amputated the leg, had a success rate around 90%. And for the tibia, where they didn't amputate, it still achieved a survival rate of about 75%. So let's just take human language. Just lay it over ants. How sad is this? Here's the one last quote. The only medical system that can rival what the ants do would be the human one. Wait a second. So we're rivaling it? It's better than what we do in an operating room? These labels that teaching kids that they're animals, that ants are on the same level of sophistication as human beings when it comes to science and medicine, is it any wonder this generation is so lost and so confused and so detached from all things? Because this is why I'm so excited about this, y'all. This is really so exciting. I think that this is going to become something that is big here at Fortis Institute. We're going to campuses, and we want to talk to these kids who have been told they're monkeys or ants, or that they are nothing but a DSM moniker, that they are a label of they're depressed, they're anxiety disorder, they've got ADHD. We want to talk to them. And so we're going to campuses this fall. So far, we've got two scheduled. Kennesaw State, which is actually the largest university in the state of Georgia, and Oklahoma University. That is going to be a riot. And what they want us to talk about is deconstruction and why you shouldn't, and why this is a trend. We want to talk to these students. We don't want to mock and shame. So we're going to be going to have these conversations with them to bring them something hopeful. And as long as we're talking about Fortis Institute, did you know that right now we have a Truth Unhindered campaign? We want to close our store. We want to give everything away. So we're relying on you. We have a match campaign going on right now. If you give, it'll double, and we're going to close the store. Then all of the resources that we still sell, believe me, we give away 90% of stuff. But the other stuff that are the really big resources that we create here with study guides, we want to just give it all away. Would you consider helping us do just that? And then we're going to get this stuff into churches around the globe. You can learn more about it at fortisinstitute.org/truth. fortisinstitute.org/truth. And speaking of labeling the kids, did you know in the DSM, which labels anybody with anything as having some sort of mental disorder, there is nothing in the DSM about people who watch a lot of pornography. That's not considered a malady. They haven't identified that as any sort of addiction. From the conversation, research shows it causes lasting harm to the brain in relationships. It's a 2018 study. 91.5% of men, 60.2% of women consume porn. I think that's a lie. And what they're discovering is it's goofing up their brain. And it does indeed lead them to go deeper and deeper into images that they never imagined that they would look at. Lo and behold, the DSM, happy to call you some sort of mental disorder, but not this one. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.